Welcome to the final Women's Golf Show of 2022. I'm Jenny Faulkner, and for this very special end of year episode, well, I'm delighted to be joined not by one, but by two superstars. Yeah, Ali Whittaker and Beth Allen, both of them are here, both helping me to look back on the conclusion to both the LPGA and LET, and also some of the stories to emerge from those really thrilling season finales. As well as that, Iona Stephen meets one of, well, she meets my golf buddy, basically, Di Stewart. And to close out the show, Beth and Ali are beyond excited to face the ultimate showdown in a bumper edition of Par 3, Par 4, Par 5. Well, hello there. How are you both?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. But I mean, what day is it today? Is it the 6th of December today? It's a very special day because it's the 6th door on my advent calendar. And it's Beth's birthday!
Happy
birthday! Thank you.
Happy birthday!
Thank you very much. Yes, 41 entire years old.
Ancient, that's what it is. What are you going to do, obviously, apart from recording an episode of the Women's Golf Show? What other exciting things are you up to today?
I'm going to sing karaoke tonight in Glasgow, so I'm afraid it's too bad that the listeners are only just finding out now and they won't get to know until after it's done.
But you know what?
I'll be
that
sure.
Is too bad. That I've heard you. I have heard you sing What's Going On, Sweet Caroline. I would walk 500 miles, and all of them were all of the renditions were iconic.
Thank you. Yes, and I'm joined by Jeff Brighton, Colin Montgomery's caddy. So it's going to be, a pretty tame night, I'm sure.
Oh my goodness. I really, like, tell me where it is. I'm putting it out on social media.
Horseshoe Bar.
Okay. Amazing. I'm jealous that I'm not in Glasgow to come and join you.
Right?
That sounds fun. Just a quiet birthday celebration.
Yeah, it's pretty mild. So I'm sure I'll be tip top tomorrow.
Have you been practicing your harmonies, BA? You and Jeff, have you been rehearsing for this moment?
Yeah, we have over the last few years, and we haven't had the opportunity to finally get it done. So I think the challenge is going to be what song to choose, because we have different ideas, but I think it's gonna be a game time decision and how we're feeling and what we've got to read the room, you know. Some of these places, you know, you could tell if they're gonna want to hear, say, Metallica, or maybe they want to hear something else like Barry Manilow.
Yeah,
who knows?
That's it. They might want a classic. Yeah.
I love that you put the same focus and effort into choosing your song as you would do which club and which wind direction is involved in taking a shot on the golf course. But you know what? It is your special day. And so, you know, we all want to wish you a very happy birthday, but also so does someone that's a friend of yours. So have a listen to this.
Hey Beth, it's Brew. I'm currently in Mobile, Alabama with Meg at Q-Series, enjoying the finest that America has to offer. I just wanted to wish you a really happy birthday. Actually, it made me think about you, made me start looking back over the years and thinking of some of the absolutely incredible achievements that you've had in the game. But we both know that's not the most important thing in life. The most important thing is to be happy. You've certainly made an impression on a lot of people over the years. And I would say we all deserve to be happy. And wherever you are and whatever you're doing right now, I hope that you're getting there. And I'm sending all of my best wishes and hope you have a great day.
Oh, I thought you guys were joking earlier about getting emotional.
Oh,
and that was really nice, Brew. What a good mate. Yeah, that's really kind.
How lovely.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
Becky Brewerton, what a lovely guest, what a lovely message as well. Obviously, it's all lies, you know, tell her to say that. No, I'm joking. What a lovely message. I want to say as well, Ali, you're not being overlooked here. Happy birthday to you a couple of weeks ago. What did you get up to?
I was in Brisbane for the Australian PGA. So the hotel we were staying at had a nice little rooftop bar. So we went up there and watched a beautiful sunset, which, you know, sometimes when you're on the road, you're not often afforded those little celebrations. So that was really nice as well. But I'm home for a month now, so I'll get to actually check in with some people, which would be nice.
Oh, Beth, you know when you keep up with Ali on Instagram because she's always in a different country? Mm-hmm. I had major FOMO. She was in literally, you were all just having a great time in Dubai not that long ago. I was jealous as hell. Like, oh, I wish I was there. Was it fun?
Yeah, it was great. The DP World Tour Championships, it's one of those weeks where it's a really busy week to cover because it means so much to everyone. You've got so many permutations for Player of the Year. Then we had the G4D finale as well that was played in as an event in two of the days and that kind of thing. So there's a lot that comes together, and then it's very social because everyone's in town for it as well. So it's kind of like you just know that it's a morning, noon and night gig those weeks. So, but in a way, like all of the shenanigans at night and the kind of end of year dinners, it offsets the pressure of the day as well, which I think in this job's really important to make sure you have that balance.
Yeah.
But everyone was exhausted when they left.
Sounds like it. I bet.
Well, look, we'll catch up on everything that's been going on in a little bit. I mean, can you believe that we started this series of the Women's Golf Show back in March? And Beth, you were managing golf course in Ohio at the time.
Yeah, and now that you say that, I'm just reflecting on where I was. I was in an empty kitchen, and it was, I think, 6 or 7 in the morning, so it was dark, and I was speaking to you from over here, and but it's been such a fun experience doing this with you guys. I think it's so great that we get to chat about women's golf from all over the world. So we've come a long way, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And when you say from all over the world, there certainly has been a lot of travel. Now, Beth, you are up there traveling the globe a lot, but not as much as Ali. I mean, your air miles must be really impressive, Ali.
I think the weirdest thing has been the transitions between countries, because they haven't always made sense. So, like, you know, you go from Melbourne to Asia to South Africa to Dubai back to Brisbane. You know, it's been lively. But it's so bizarre. It's the same as golf, like, and Beth can attest to this, that you actually have to live it to work out what works for you schedule-wise as a player. It's actually really hard as a player to work out how many in a row you can do, what you need to reset, which courses suit you better, do you have the luxury of choosing, you know, that year or not, depending on your status. And it's somewhat similar. It's been similar in commentary now, where I consider myself full status commentator now, so I can start to actually make some choices next year. But I came and went more this year than I did the last two, because I got stuck overseas the last 2 years and couldn't actually get home. But I came and went, but oddly felt less rested in between, even though I had more time at home. So that's the lesson that I think I've learned. Instead of coming and going for 2 weeks at home, which with jet lag, it's kind of really 10, 11 days by the time you have to leave, that I think I need, even if it's adding one extra event on, coming back for an extra week and making sure those breaks are kind of 3-4 weeks if I can do it, if the schedules allow for it. Sometimes they don't, depending on where they all stack. But yeah, that was lesson number one that I learned. But it's just pure trial and error. And so that was, my takeaway of 2022. But, you know, that's life, isn't it? Yeah.
I tell you, it's been such a joy working on this podcast with both of you as well. It's been really interesting because obviously, Beth, you went back and played golf this summer, and Ali, you've obviously been commentating on it. And for me, I mean, I'm literally a golf enthusiast who's kind of learning more and more about the game and meeting, I suppose, different players. And from my point of view, it's just been a huge big education, and it's something that's just made me more excited about playing golf. So, yeah, it's been good. Here's to a really good 2023 for all three of us in golf as well, for all different reasons.
Jenny, like the thing for Beth and I feel very comfortable speaking on behalf of both of us with that, is that whenever there is someone like you around, it reminds us why we love the game. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of enthusiasm and being new to it is really something that I feed off that so much. And I think that's really important to have that around. So there's certainly a place for that. I hope more women understand that, you know, that going up and introducing themselves to golfers at events and things like that, like it actually invigorates, and like taking kids up, like daughters, sons, whatever it is, you know, and wherever it is, it's one of those kind of nice things that, it gives everyone a real boost. Yeah. You know, we can take it for granted sometimes.
It is great. Well, my daughter is now has weekly golf lessons with her friend. They're 11 and they're out there every single week, whatever awesome. The weather, having a lesson. So this is good. So I'm going to have, if anything, I'll have a golf buddy in a daughter. So that's really useful. That's really useful.
But we'll need to get her on the show.
I know. Right, let's have a chat about some golf, because obviously you're tuning in because you want to hear what's been going on. But a big part of the show is obviously shining the light on the achievements of the top players in women's golf on the LPGA and on the Ladies European Tour. In our last episode, which was end of October, it was ages ago, Ali, you had just been in Korea for the BMW Ladies Championship. She's literally like, where was I? What was I doing? And that's where you'd been. Well, the LPGA's next stop was in Japan for the Toto Japan Classic, where I'm delighted to say, and I was watching and I was sending her messages the whole way, a very good friend of the Women's Golf Show bagged her maiden win on the LPGA. That was Gemma Driver. She's been a guest a couple of times. She joined us in June last for an episode this time last year as well, where she'd just come through the Tour's qualifying series. So fast forward a year, she's a winner. Yeah, on the LPGA.
Amazing.
So good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She sent us this message.
Hi everyone on the Women's Golf Show. It's Gemma Driver here. I'm currently in New Orleans, where I live now. I am in my off season at the moment. I just finished a few weeks ago. I start the season again at the Tournament of Champions the third week of January. So obviously my win in Japan got me into that. So pretty exciting to start the year there. You know, that week in Japan, I just had such a great time. The fans were amazing. It's probably the biggest, you know, fans I've ever seen at any tournament. So, and they were just all so respectful and so happy for us to be there. The first round in Japan, I hit the ball well, but I wouldn't say I putted that well. And I'd actually worked a lot on my putting on the Wednesday. I think I got a little bit too technical in my mind on the first day with my putting. And the next 3 days, I just let it go. I'd done the work and just trusted myself. And then from then on, the hole felt like a bucket. I literally felt like I could make everything, which was an amazing feeling. I wish I could channel that every week. The final day, I was a bit obviously nervous beforehand. I didn't sleep overly well that night, just kind of in anticipation for the final round. But once I got started on the actual round, I calmed down a lot. I did see the leaderboard walking to the 13th hole, I think it was. But it was actually on the wrong page of the leaderboard, so I didn't actually quite see what the status was on the scores. But I felt like I obviously felt like I was maybe leading, but I didn't know by how many. And then after that, I birdied 13, 14, 15. So I felt like that kind of gave me a real good springboard. And then after the 17th hole, I kind of asked my caddy, what lead do we have? And he said, 3 at the moment, but maybe it might be 2 if Lynn Grant birdies the last. So felt pretty confident with the last hole being a par 5 that I can, you know, play it pretty safely, and ended up birding it in the end, which was great. And once I got on that final green, I just looked up at the leaderboard and it all kind of sunk in. This is what I've dreamt about for so long. And, you know, I've dreamt about those moments a lot, and I've always felt like, you know, I would be, you know, shaking my boots and, you know, my hands would be shaking over putts, but it just wasn't like that at all. That evening, so once we got back to the hotel, I had to pack a little bit because we were leaving at 4:45 the next morning for the airport. I was always planning to obviously celebrate, so I went up to the top at the bar on the top of the hotel with my caddy. There were some LPGA staff up there, some rules officials, and a few players as well. So we went up there and bought quite a few champagne bottles. Yeah, it was an early wake-up call that next morning. I can't say I was completely sober when I woke up at 4:45. So, but yes, I wouldn't want to celebrate my win any other way. Amazing to think back. This time last year, I came on to the Women's Golf Show after Q Series, after having qualified for my 2022 LPGA card. I remember that podcast quite well. I was obviously very excited to be done with that 8-round marathon of Q Series, which is going on at the moment. So very glad to kind of look ahead to this year and not having to go to Q school and just being in a completely different position. You know, having won now, I can actually plan my year next year, which is an amazing feeling. You know, I get into all the majors, and so being able to plan a year is a great feeling, which I wasn't able to do last year. Thanks for having me on again. Happy birthday, Beth. Hope you have a great day celebrating. I know you will. A few drams, I'm sure, to celebrate. So have a great day.
Oh, she's had such a good time recently. I'm so pleased for her. Is that what it's like? You know, she talked about how tense it is and how stressful and how she was over-focusing on her putting. I mean, is that what it's like when you kind of get into that position?
Yes. I think every week is different. And for me, it was anyway. And some weeks it feels really easy and natural. And other weeks, like Gemma said, her ball striking was really good, but there was something that she thought was, you know, bothering her with her putting. And then you kind of overthink it. And then it takes an actual experience of an entire round of 18 holes sometimes to think and realize, actually, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to think like this anymore. And that also takes maturity to sort of realize that, you know, that that's how she was feeling, and then do something about it instead of just continuing to be technical for the rest of the week. And she obviously did a really good job of managing her feelings and their stress. And then, you know, it's literally the best feeling in the world when the hole looks like a bucket. I can count on one hand the amount of times that's happened to me, and it just is really rare. And then obviously when it's your time, and she's been playing some outstanding golf all year, really consistent, and she's come on really strong, and I'm really, really pleased for her because she's a really good player and a really good girl. So
can I just ask, you know, obviously, Beth, you've got loads of strong connections to golf development in Scotland. So this is a big win, isn't it, for Scotland?
Really big. And I think, you know, Gemma, sometimes when players go across the States for college, it's, you know, they don't, and they don't get as much attention as they do when they stay. And Gemma went over and played all of her amateur golf almost in the States. And, you know, I think it was great for all of the players and the young players at Scottish Golf to see that she, you know, she achieved her dreams. And then of course we've got Louise Duncan, who has had a really great couple of years, and then Hannah Darling, who's doing amazing things at the University of South Carolina. So, you know, you've got three players current that are doing great things. And then, of course, Katrina Matthew, who still is invested in the amateur game here and is, you know, helping these young players achieve their goals. So I do think that golf in Scotland is a far better place than it was, you know, 10 years ago. So I'm really pleased, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the future holds.
Ali, what a win. It was so exciting when she got it. And she got, did you see the prize she got? Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. Toto is a brand of toilet wear, I guess I'm going to say. I don't even know how to phrase that.
Toilet
but
wear.
Usually. I know. I'm not, yeah, I don't think you actually, yeah, I don't think you wear it. Although it pretty much, I mean, these toilets could probably pick your outfit for you, in my defense. We usually, whenever we cover that event, I have to do a feature on the toilets. And so we did one where I was sitting, there was one in the lobby of the golf course she won at, and I was sitting there and we did this skit essentially where the toilet was doing everything, you know, and it was like the lids going up and down like that, and I'm like, the only thing I need is the paper now. And then we got Mo Martin to come in and bring me a newspaper, and then just cut away to, you know, obviously I wasn't like, you know, full role playing in the middle of the lobby, just to be very clear. I can see Ben's eyebrows going up and down, but they're so, yeah, those toilets, they're pretty expensive. It costs about 10 grand, I think, for the really schmick ones.
So she did actually win a toilet, like an all-singing, all-dancing toilet.
Yeah,
so
they play like nature sounds for you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's like, there's buttons. I don't think you'd even know what all of them did. I think you'd probably, have quite a wild ride kind of working out all of those things along the way. But yeah, the week after Gemma's win, I was in South Africa and I bumped into Bob McIntyre when we were walking around, and he yelled out to me, he goes, "How good was Gemma's win?" And it's like, so, and there's been four wins by Scottish boys on tour this year. Well, three different guys, but four wins. And so it's kind of cool to see that next wave, and hopefully, and then I asked him, who are you keeping an eye on in the next gen? Like who else is coming? And he pointed out Hannah Darling to me, which I think is, so I texted Gemma this, cause I think it's kind of nice for everyone to hear the mutual respect. And they're just really well built humans. I mean, Gemma's one of the most humble people around. So it was actually really nice to see her back herself in that situation, because she played near on flawless golf that weekend. It was stunning display of ball striking, and then she was just rolling them in from everywhere, and she was just cruising. It was awesome.
It's really good. She's the first Scottish winner on the LPGA since Katrina Matthew, actually, in 2011, I think. And also that means there's, am I right in saying this, 11 first time winners on the LPGA this season, which surely is a great thing. It means there's so many great players coming through.
Yeah, it's very, very healthy for the feeder tours, and that the program is right when you're not having the year dominated by the same players time in, time out. Like, granted, there's a time for that because you want the legacies to be built as well. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly not fighting it, but there's so many events. You know, they've got 34 events around the year, around on the LPGA, and thankfully way more this year on the LET, and that schedule is really getting super solid now. And so it's kind of nice to see both of those being bolstered by fresh talent coming through.
Yeah. Well, look, congratulations to Gemma from all of us here. A great result for her. But she's not the only winner in the last month or so, is she? There was Ali. Talk us through who else has been doing quite well.
Yeah, the thing. Well, I'll do the LPGA if you do the LET, Beth. How about we
Sounds
we'll
good
cut
to
it down
me.
That way? Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, yeah. All right. So a couple of feel-good stories. I was really happy, and I think everyone was really happy to see Nelly Korda actually get back across the line at the Pelican Women's Championship down in Florida, her home state, because the year for her has been a massive roller coaster. She had a very scary incident with the blood clot that was actually the details have come out since. But for those of us that know her, we knew actually how scary it was. None of us were talking about it, but it was very close to her heart. And so the whole surgery, what she went through, the rehab, she did it in a really kind of spiritual, cruisy way, which for an elite athlete that's just won gold the year before, it's not easy to be benched when you're at your peak. So she ended up taking on a couple of the, you know, the biggest names in the game, Carlotta and Lexi Thompson on that final day. I think it was Alison Corpus who had the lead going into the final round. She's another player to watch. She might end up making the US Solheim Cup team next year. I don't think anyone would be surprised after seeing her play throughout the season that she might get a Guernsey there. Nice, really super steady player. But Nelly just was on an absolute mission on the back nine, which was really cool to watch. I think she had four birdies since the turn and absolutely romped it in, really. So it was great to see that. She was very emotional after the win, which was also kind of nice for her to show that.
Can I ask how many months she was out this year? Because it's pretty impressive to have that time out and then come back and end the year with a win.
It was substantial. It was way more than I thought it was going to be. I remember thinking that. I want to say 4 months.
Yeah.
Maybe. Does that sound about right, Bea?
Yeah, because
it was
she
the
definitely
start of the
played
year.
All summer.
Oh, did she?
Right? Yeah.
But then, but most of the spring, I think she was out.
Yeah, I think it was kind of February.
Yeah, didn't she start at the Open? Was her first one AIG, maybe?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, well, yeah, because she said that she didn't want to start back at a major. Oh, no, she started back at the US Open.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I remember her saying, obviously, I'd rather play my way into it. I think that was about May, wasn't it? So somewhere in there. But yeah, so it took her back to world number one. That's been a mantle that's been a trophy on the mantle that's belonged to a couple of players this year, as well as Lydia Ko and Ataya Titikin. And speaking of Lydia Ko, the CME Group Tour Championship, the last event of the LPGA season with all of the awards up for grabs. Rolex Player of the Year, the Rama, so the Rolex Annika Major Award, which ended up going to Minji Lee after her US Women's Open win and the rest of her season, which was simply stunning. So it was she, Lydia, Brooke Henderson and Attia Titikin that had a chance to win it, which is remarkable from Attia as well in her rookie season out there, learning all of the golf courses. That's the thing. Like, everyone's like, oh, she's not a rookie. I'm like, trust me, mate. She's learning a lot this year. Like, everything's new. So your game might not be a rookie, but your experience still feels like that.
Oh, and she's still only 19 as well.
Yeah, I know. She's a teen. She feels like she's been around forever. So Lids absolutely flew on the first 2 days. I think she had a 5-shot lead or something going into the weekend. And then Leona Maguire made her charge, which was really cool. Great to see her challenge for a second time this season after taking one early on. And they had a little back and forth battle, but I think Lids in the end had a shot or two up her sleeve going down the last, and that was good enough for her to take the title, for her to take the Player of the Year as well for the first time since back in 2015. So kudos to her. She went back to world number one. Like, there was a lot of ticks along the way, and I think there was a real validation that came from the fact that she's kind of gone back to the work that got her where she was, and her natural body movements with her swing, which I'm loving seeing. And I think there's a real lesson here for all of us to not necessarily try and be perfect, try and be your version of perfect golf. So that was my kind of, I guess that was my takeaway from watching her get back up on the podium.
Yeah, it's been good to see, actually, because she did drop as low as 59th in the world at one point, which is kind of hard to believe. Because obviously you and I remember her winning in, what was that, in the New South Wales
Open.
Yeah, in Oatlands when she was, I don't know, what, 15 maybe? Younger.
She might have been 14. Younger. I think she was 14.
Yeah, and it's just been a real joy to kind of watch her career flourish. I think we all knew she was going to be very good, but sometimes you see players that you think that's going to happen to, and it doesn't always happen. But she is certainly special.
Yeah, she is. She's got love in her life this year too, as well, which is really nice. She's engaged and very, very happy, and she deserves that. She's a total gem.
Absolutely.
So that was the conclusion of the LPGA. Beth, over to you now for LET.
Right. Well, like the LPGA, there was a lot on the line at the Costa del Sol Open de España, including a battle for the race to the Costa del Sol, which we will talk about in just a little bit. There are 75 players in the field in Andalusia, and that field is comprised of current money. So it's categories on the tours. For example, I'm an order of merit winner, so my category is, I don't know the numbers because I forget, but it means throughout the season there are events that I can enter and I'm automatically in. But when you're doing something like CME or Costa del Sol, it is current money and it's rewarding the players in their current best form. So there were 75 players in the field, the top from 2022, and it was very exciting, and it all came down to a playoff on Sunday. Switzerland's Morgan Mitreau held a 2-shot lead at the start of the day ahead of three players, including a couple of Solheim Cup legends in my eyes, Leona Maguire and Caroline Hedwall, and a 17-year-old amateur, Cayetana Fernandez, who I had the pleasure of commentating on at the Girls Amateur earlier this year at Carnoustie. Very, very good player. I am not surprised that she is contending in pro events already. But saying that, some flawless golf was played at the top of the leaderboard, especially by Hedwall, who had a bogey-free 67. And Morgan was also bogey-free, but just still wasn't enough. And they ended up in a playoff. After three tries of playing the 18th hole, which is a par three, never my favorite for a playoff hole. Par threes are hard to win. Twos are never easy to come by. So finally they headed to the 17th, and the 17th was a reachable par five and an exciting hole throughout the week. And Hedwall played it really well all week, and she ended up making a birdie to win, and Morgan made par. So that was Caroline's seventh LET title. And I think that will put her in the mix for a consideration for Solheim next year, I would have thought. And of course, another win for Sweden, which has been kind of the theme of the year, right?
Yeah, how many Swedes are going to be on the team next
right?
year?
Right, I know, isn't that wild? It's
super cool.
Yeah.
So do they all just learn golf from the minute they're born? Is that what happens?
It's very popular, but their pipeline's brilliant. So they've got, obviously, you know, they've got like Annika to look up to, but they've also got Fanny Sunnesson, who is very heavily involved with their developmental program, who is the former caddy of Henrik Stenson, Nick Faldo, amongst others. One of the most highly respected caddies ever in the game, male or female. And then they've got Sophie Gustafsson as well, who was on the bag for Ingrid Lindblad. She was on the bag for Maya Stark for her win in Belfast. And so they've got people giving good advice. They've got willing participants, and they've got lots of them.
Yeah, I can vouch that Sophie does give quite good advice. It worked for me.
Yeah. Beth won with Sophie on the bag, by the way.
3 times. Yeah. So she's a great caddy and a wealth of knowledge. So, yes, the Swedes have a lot going for them. And two very exciting new players to watch. So, of course, Lynn Grant and Maya Stark have been the two standout players on the LET this year, and they were neck and neck in the race to the Costa del Sol. Heading into the week, the balance was slightly in Lynn's favor. She had a few more points, so she had to finish above Maya or tie her, which is incredible because it's not always that close at the end of the year. Sometimes people run away with it, but Lynn held the upper hand through the first and the second rounds. However, both she and Maya struggled a bit on Saturday. In the end, just one shot separated them heading into Sunday, which was extremely exciting. And an impressive 65 was had from Lynn in that last round, and it was hard to match. So the 22-year-old clinched the race to the Costa del Sol with a third-place finish. She had 4 wins on the LET this year, including my favorite win of the year, which was the Scandinavian Mix back in June. I know Al had the pleasure of talking about that while it was in action. So I think it's definitely worth mentioning again.
Yeah, it always is. And then the top three being Swedes, as well as Johanna Gustafsson as well, rounding out the top three in the order of merit. But I love it when it shouldn't have even been close, the race to Costa del Sol. Like, it's remarkable that it was, given the years that both of those players had. Like, in any other year, Lynn's dominance, it would have been secured 2 or 3 events in advance.
Or Maya's too, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's my point for either of them. So the fact that they did it together and they've done everything together, you know, they went to high school together, I really have a lot of admiration for the way that they frame that within their friendship, because it's not an easy thing to be so competitive with each other, yet so supportive. And they speak about it so openly because it's a little bit kind of like Nelly and Jess, the way that they've grown up, where they go, yeah, I want to do it, but I still want to beat her. Mm-hmm. And like, to do that in a healthy way, honestly, I really take my hat off to them. And I hope that that's a friendship that's celebrated in the limelight for years to come.
Yeah, and I think it will be. It kind of, obviously, I think that's what helps all the Swedes do so well, and that's why they're so successful. And you see it in other countries too, like a few years ago with the Danish girls, when Nicole Brock Larsen and Nanna Coates Madsen and Emily Pedersen all came out at the same time. And, you know, they're friends, but they're also really wanted to beat each other. And so when you've got people like that, it's really motivating.
Yeah. I love that they're friends, but they really want to beat you. Yeah. That's it. I mean, it does feel like the season, you know, is ending, but of course it's not, because down under things go on.
Yeah I know. That's the thing. Well, we had all of 24 hours between the end of the DP World Tour season and then the start of the next one, pretty much, where they had a couple events in South Africa and Australia to kick the year straight off. So there wasn't much time to pause and reflect, but thankfully there was enough. on what was a really brilliant year of golf with so many varying stories in the men's and women's game. But yeah, the ISPS Hunter Australian Open had three events in one. With the All Abilities, we had the women and the men all playing at two courses on the Melbourne Sandbelt. And we hadn't been back to the Sandbelt in forever. And it's a real golfing destination. Ugh, but it's, yeah, like I'm biased because I grew up on it. And my home course is Victoria Golf Course, where it was staged, as well as Kingston Heath, which is about 10 minutes down the road. But the Melbourne Sandbelt was possibly the biggest winner of the week because everyone was so excited to come back. The golf courses were shown off in softer conditions. They firmed up. They saw it in two very different wins. So if you could like design a tournament for an Australian Open, you'd go, all right, two world-class golf courses. Yeah, all right, let's get the men and the women together because A, that gets more funding, and that's the thing that's often overlooked when people critique the format. I'm like, you can either play for $1.7 million each, or you can play for $700,000 and the guys can play for $1 million. They're not, because they're together, the tournament gets bigger. That's what it's all about in terms of the funding from the state government as well. So they're both bolstering each other. But then you'd pick the weather. You'd say decent weather, you know, on the first couple of days, scorable conditions, but then let's throw a hot northerly wind, which is such a rite of passage in Australian golf, especially on the Sandbelt. Let's throw a hot northerly at them on Sunday in firmer conditions so that the person that wins is going to be the best person. In the end, it was Ash Buhai who won the Women's Open at Muirfield as well, who continued her fairy tale year. Adrian Moronk made a massive putt for eagle on the final hole. He didn't need it to win, but it went in anyway, which is even better, kind of like it was a real celebration moment. And then the world number one, Kip Poppet, who's won four times on the G4D Tour, he won the All Abilities. And it was just really, it was a real privilege to be a part of it. It was very difficult to cover because it felt like you were watching three different movies and you had to translate and you had to watch what was going on in each of them, but then translate it and try and keep it as simple as possible for everyone at home because it did not feel simple at all to the people that were trying to cover it.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? In terms of your preparation, oh, my goodness, how much work that must have been. Because that's, as you say, three different movies. That's three different loads of information you have to be across as well. I mean,
yeah, it was about 300 players in two courses. So
that's a lot of growth.
It was a decent whack. Yeah, it was a decent whack. And you want to do a good job, you know. Yeah.
At least you're familiar with Vic Golf Club.
That's true. I did know the course.
I was going to say, we have heard about some big wins for some big names, obviously, in our roundup there. I mean, there's been loads of great news. But there is one big accolade up for grabs. It's the first time we've done this, and it's a biggie. And I know everyone's going to be chomping at the bit to hear, but we are talking about the Women's Golf Show Women of the Year Award. As it's the last episode of the year, so I want to give you both the chance to recognize that player who has stood out for you as someone who's worthy of that title. And it could be someone who's just bossed it all year. It could be an unsung hero who quietly just went about their business, maybe creating a moment you would never forget. I know that you've been giving this some thought, and you've been, I actually would have thought that it would have been a really big discussion and that you'd have had completely different people, but actually it's pretty, you're pretty similar in your discussions, weren't you?
Yeah. Beth, do you want to announce who the, it was unanimous. There's only two of us, but it was unanimous.
Well, it's still a really massive deal.
It's huge.
No, I mean,
drum roll.
We did speak about her earlier today, and I am pleased to announce that Al and I have both chosen Lynn Grant as the Woman of the Year for many reasons, but I will let Al say why.
Well, the four wins would be very, and the race at Costa del Sol would be enough. For me, it was the day of the year, the one day that I will not forget for the entire year, was the Sunday in Sweden when she won the Scandi Mix. So she had a couple of shots up her sleeve that day, but I can't, it's very hard to describe. I was thinking about it today, and it was almost like there was an emotional fog amongst all of the women on site. There was a weight that came along that was put on her shoulders on the final day in terms of not crumbling under the pressure, in terms of you know, just handling it at all. Even if she'd shot, you know, one or two over par, everyone still would have been stoked. But she didn't. She's gone and beaten everyone by nine. It was remarkable the way that she went in. Like, there was a spot on, I think it was the second hole, and she hit kind of a little bit of a dodgy pitch and it turned out okay. And I went, okay, all right, hopefully this doesn't kind of get to her at all. And it didn't at all. It was honestly one of the most remarkable performances I think I will see. And I'm going to remember that for some time to come.
Yeah, I think I was watching live scoring because it was potentially and was a historical event. And when I realized that she was kind of running away with it, I think she'd played six holes or something, I came home to watch it live because I knew it was going to be incredible. And as what my worry was, like Al was discussing, that she might crumble because it is a massive amount of pressure to win. And then to win in a mixed event for the first time being a woman is huge. So I got so much joy out of watching that round and the reactions, and of course having friends talk about it too. It was really, really special. And as a player who has been relatively successful, it's sometimes it's really difficult for me to recognize that without feeling any sort of, I don't know, for lack of a better term, jealousy. And I genuinely thought how amazing for women's golf, and it was easy for me to recognize what a huge event that was, and that's why for me it was a no-brainer to pick Lynn Grant as our player of the year.
Okay, well, congratulations, Lynn, the Women's Golf Show Woman of the Year for 2022. Very impressive. So round of applause right there. And we should also, by the way, we should mention Anne Van Dam, who's also smashing it away from golf too, because she just did an Ironman, didn't she?
Yeah, she did, in support of Jane Park's daughter, Grace, who is undergoing a quite extensive treatment, and she's just gone through surgery for epilepsy after a virus that left her in a very different state than she was, you know, a year and a half ago. And that the way that the golf world has gotten behind that family is remarkable, and the fact that Anne has gone and done this, Beth, is even more so.
It is unreal, especially as, like you said, an elite LPGA athlete. For, I mean, I can't imagine training for anything else. You know, she's found the time to do, you know, I actually, before today, I knew Ironman sounded really hard, but I didn't know what exactly they were, you know, but I knew it was like running, swimming, and bike riding, but I didn't know how much. So a half is a 1.2 mile swim, a 56 mile bike ride, and then 13 mile run, which I think is the killer. You'd know, Jenny. But that just sounds really difficult to train for on top of practicing to play decent golf, right?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I try and train for a marathon once a year and try and play golf, and I'm not at all professional in either of them, and it's really difficult. So imagine doing that as a pro golfer as well. Yeah, she did it all so well. She did the half Ironman, 6 hours 8 minutes, which is really good. And and by the way, you can find fundraising details on all Anne's socials. It supports, obviously, as we said, a really, really good cause there. All year, Iona has also been busy. Iona Stephen has been catching up with brilliant women right throughout the year. She travels the world. I mean, we've heard so many brilliant, brilliant recordings that she's brought to us, from the likes of catching up with Hollywood star Catherine Newton, Olympic gold medalist Eve Muirhead. Do you remember Janet and Me? 88-year-old
Me. Oh, yeah.
Dragging.
Right.
Oh my goodness, they were
the best.
Brilliant. It was a gale in St Andrews that day, and they were not going to sit indoors. They were playing golf, and Iona was going with them. Well, look, a love for golf has been what has united all of these women, and it's been a big focus in life for this week's subject of Iona Meets, who's one of my friends. She's my golf buddy, Di Stewart. She began presenting Sky Sports golf coverage back in 2006, and she's been a leading figure and mentor to many who have followed in her footsteps. She also happens to be a rather nifty golfer, I've got to say. She balances work with being a mum and somehow manages to find time for golf. And she explains how golf has always been a great way to spend time with family.
I'm not George Clooney, but I'll...
You are not George Clooney, but you are Di the Spy. And we love you. And
thank
we're
you.
So glad that you're here to have a little blether with us.
Ooh.
Because you are a serious figure within golf. And specifically, we are talking women's golf. And, you know, it's not an easy thing getting into golf for anybody because it can be such a terrifying sport. And let's be honest, more so as a woman, because it has for so long been considered this kind of man's game. But you have been bucking the trend for years now, Di, because
well,
you've done some wonderful things
I'm
in golf.
I'm very old.
Take us back to the start.
Very old. That's so kind of you to say. I started golf at a very young age. And it was actually my mum that introduced me to the game when I was six. So I had this wooden 7-iron that I would hit around Rose-on-Sea Golf Course in North Wales.
Wow.
Because my dad grew up in North Wales, so we had a holiday home there and would go every summer. And literally my summer days were spent playing golf every single day. Mm. And my mum has an identical twin sister and her son Tom. So the Littleys, we were known as the Littleys, Tom and I were entered into the Mize Dee Junior Open, Conway Junior Open,
wow.
Abergele, Rill, Prestatyn. Mm. I can't remember a summer holiday where there was a day off from golf, basically. But yeah, my mum got me into it.
But isn't that interesting? And you are now a wonderful mum yourself, Di. And I know that that's something that you enjoy doing with your own kids.
I do. My mum always played golf. Mm. So it was a natural thing for me to go along. And now my two children, Bridget 6 and Max, who's 10, Bridget has lessons and Max does on a Sunday morning. Then Max goes and plays 18 holes and I walk around and caddy for Bridget and do 6 or 7. But we are always going to the golf club to have a cup of tea. Max will do chipping for an hour or so. So they are visually seeing golf all the time.
Yeah.
And there's such an amazing community at the courses I'm a member at, which means that they want to play with their peers. So Bridget's got 3 other 6-year-olds that she plays golf with. Mm. So that encourages her. My son's got a group his own age. So that's what they want to do. So yeah, you fit it in around your lifestyle. I mean, if you finish work at 5 or 6 o'clock, you might go to the range for half an hour and hit some golf balls and meet a group of people and have a cup of tea. It's not all about playing golf. It's about connection as well. Golf is about connecting with people and friendship and community.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this sport. I've met so many incredible people. Mm. And it just becomes part of your life.
Yeah. Well, we met really through golf, didn't we,
Di? Yeah.
And we are great friends. And you've been a wonderful role model for me in not only in playing golf, but in the world of working within golf.
That's very kind.
You sort of led the way in the Sky Sports golf team and were a big part of that. And now as you've moved into different facets of your career, you're still involved in golf.
Yeah.
And I'd love you to tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I worked full time in golf and my decision was to have children. So when they're so young, I invested my time in them and stepped away from broadcasting for about a year. And then I went freelance. So now I work in golf and I work in different sports, netball, tennis, rugby, football, whatever's going on. I love to immerse myself in sports, but golf has always been the backbone of my career. And finding the balance as a mother is the key for me, and it's sometimes really hard to find the balance. Mm. But what drives me is the fact that my daughter, I think of my daughter looking up to a mum who's working in a sport she loves, but also spending quality time with her. So trying to get it right. But there are periods where, you know, if you work in the golfing world, it's sort of a 3 or 4 week stretch where everything's happening and you have to be away from home, and then you come back and you may have 3 weeks at home. So it's a different lifestyle for many people. But the passion that I have for golf is what always drives me, and I love working with people, like-minded people.
Yeah. What would your life be like without golf in it, Di?
No, that would never happen. It would be very different. For me, golf helps my mental health,
yeah,
my headspace massively.
Yeah.
If I'm feeling remotely down or anxious about anything, the first, literally the first thing I do is put my clubs in the car and I'll go to the range and hit golf balls.
Amazing.
It is such therapy for me.
Yeah.
And then I'll call a couple of mates and say, right, do you want 9 holes? If it's like an evening, if I can sort childcare out, I'll go out. I'll go out with my son if, yeah, I can. And playing in different golf days, it fills me up. It really does. And then I'm out of my head, yeah, thinking about something else, and then I almost forget about what problems I did have.
Yeah.
So anyone who's contemplating taking up the game, I just it's brought me so much joy. Yeah. It really has, yeah, and so many amazing friendships.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're a very special friend to me. Aww. And we're delighted that you're in the golf world. We're so grateful for you, and we're very grateful for your time today.
Thank you. Oh, it's so nice hearing all that. Do you know, she's become a really good friend through golf. I didn't really know Di until I started playing golf, and we play at least once a month in the summer, probably once a fortnight. And it's difficult, as she says, you know, she's got a job and she also has to be a mum. So it is quite difficult for anyone that's a working parent to get out there and make time for golf. But it's so important to be able to do it because it is headspace. It is lovely having time with friends. She talks continuously. Sometimes she really puts you off, and I think that's a tactic, if I'm brutally honest. She's honestly, she's just a joy to hang out with. And I think that's what I've learned about playing golf as well, which is, just to reiterate her point, it's a great way to hang out with friends. And this is why I'd love more girls and more women to take it up, because there should be more of us out there. All these blokes, they've forever had golf days, haven't they, from work and all. You know, this is away from the professionals. Men have always treated golf as a way to spend time together. Well, I think now us girls are realising we can enjoy it as well. And I don't only play with Di. We've got male friends that we play with as well. And it's sometimes kind of nice to have a mixed group. And yeah, it's just, what a great way to get out there and have a break. And as you say, it's so good for your mental health, so good for exercise, and also just nice to get out and get some fresh air, isn't it?
And it is one of those unique sports that you can enjoy with your entire family. And that's difficult, you know. My mom's 76, but whenever I go back to San Diego, myself and my brother and her always play. And you know, how many sports can you do that with my 50-year-old sibling and my 76-year-old mother? And it's been going on my whole life. So, you know, every Sunday morning, my dad and my mom and my brother and I used to play 9 holes at Torrey Pines, and it was just what we did. And you know, those kind of things, you kind of take it for granted until you hear a story like Di's. And then even what you were saying earlier, Al, how nice it is to have Jenny a part of this podcast as well, because it sort of ignites and kind of reminds you why we do it. And it is, it's been great hearing all the stories. And I think Di is the perfect person to sort of finish Iona Meets with this year, because I thought that was a really wonderful message.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's funny that you said that. I play with I've only played golf for 4 years now, but I play with my mum, my dad, my uncle, my husband, my daughter, and my brother who lives in South Africa. When I go there, I can play with him. It's just lovely, and I wish I'd taken up sooner, because that would have been more time to share an interest with them.
You know, I was thinking back to our guests as well, and you know, you've got Jazzy Golfer who's trying to create more communities as well for people to go who maybe don't have the people around them to go and kind of link those people up and create communities. And like you say with Di, you know, you go out and play together when you can. And there's so many more of those popping up. Like if you want a game, you're actually able to find one now, which I love.
Yeah.
Especially in the women's golf realm, I think, where it's potentially a little bit more intimidating to go into a lot of golf clubs and just rock up on your own.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's great.
Can I ask you both, you know, for the rest of this year, there's only a few weeks left. What are your plans?
Well, Beth's going to karaoke.
Karaoke. In various parts of the world. So I'll do a bit here in Scotland, and I'll go back to California and I'll do a bit. Now I'm spending the holidays in Southern California in San Diego, so I'll be looking forward to that. But yeah, it's been a it's been a crazy year for me and doing various things, and I'm kind of glad it's over. but I'm looking forward to next year and hopefully talking more about women's golf with you guys. But yeah, for me, I'm just gonna switch off for a little bit, enjoy the sunshine in California and spend some time with my family.
Oh, lovely. And Ali, what about you?
I'm gonna enjoy Melbourne in summer.
So because lucky.
It's not hard to do, which is nice. It's always really nice to be home for it. I'm home for a good four and a bit weeks, nearly 5 weeks now, where I won't have to take a flight unless I want to. Yes. And so I can go and reacquaint myself with my friends and family and see them. Granted, whenever I'm home, I always head first into catching up with them. But it'll be nice to just be able to unpack the suitcase, put it away, and just have a little bit of kind of decompression, of reflection, and and just maybe have a glass of wine. You know, how good does that sound? Watch a sunset, something like that. Gosh, I'm turning into a rom-com.
Well, the thing is, don't get too romantic and dwell on all these lovely things, because you've still got one more headache / challenge.
Oh my god. And
this is the moment I have been looking forward to. We have had a lovely time catching up today, and that ends now because It's back. Yes. Par 3, par 4, par 5. This is the Women's Golf Show. It's the most unique guessing game on any podcast, and it's back for one more hurrah in 2022. So we've been able to crunch the numbers. Would you like to know how you are looking for this year, like what your record is?
I think Beth's got to be leading, doesn't
no,
she?
No, I'm not.
Surely.
I don't think so. I'm not, because of your marina performance, I think.
Mm. Well, that, Beth, you have 3 out of 6 attempts, 3 wins from 6 attempts. Ali. Okay,
there we go.
Has 1 win in 4 attempts.
Ooh,
okay.
I know.
One in four. Okay, all right.
So, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, bragging rights are, you know, maybe up for grabs a little bit, but there is a twist.
There's a twist.
The first part of this quiz, you thought it was hard enough. It's going to be a quiz of the year. So both of you will get 2 sets of 3 questions. It's hard enough explaining the rules here. A par 3 will be the tough question, 3 points. Par 5's easiest question, 1 point. And you work your way through your questions. So you could earn a maximum of 6 points. If you get it wrong, your opponent can steal. And if they get it right, they steal the points. And then we'll finish with the classic version, just, you know, for old time's sake. So here we go. Part 1, quiz of the year. Beth's going first because it's her birthday.
Yay.
Par 3. Par 4 or par 5?
4, please.
Okay, playing it safe in the middle. Brooke Henderson won this year's Amundi Evian Championship, but who was runner-up?
Minji Lee.
Is that your final answer?
It's not. I mean, it is, but I know I'm wrong now.
Okay. Well, now I have to pass this over. And
I know.
I'm pretty sure Ali knows, because she just smiled the minute the question came up. Ali, Brooke Henderson.
Yeah, because this is a really tough question.
Yeah.
The only reason I know it is because I was standing there watching this girl putt on the green ahead. It was Sophia Schubert, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. See, this is what I mean. That's a really tough question.
Okay, so you get 2 points, goes to Ali.
I had an unfair advantage on that.
Well, not really.
Okay, Ali, your turn. Par 3, par 4, or par 5?
Can I do par 4 again?
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm.
Is that an option? Okay, good. All right. Comfort zone.
Mission Hills hosted the Chevron Championship for the final time this year. Where will it be held in 2023? We're looking for the name of the golf club.
I know the city.
It's like the something. I think it starts with a the. I know it's in Texas. I don't think I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna go with the country club.
Is that your final answer?
It's definitely not that.
It's definitely not that. I've got nothing.
Okay.
I've got nothing.
Beth, do you know what it is? It's unfortunately not the answer we were looking for.
No, I know it's in Houston. I'm going to go with, I know this is wrong, but I know it's a golf course in Houston, so I'm just going to say Blue Jack.
That is actually incorrect. It was the club at Carlton Woods.
Oh, I knew it was like, there. I was close. I knew it was something really generic. That's why I went for the country club.
The country club of Brookline, kind of, yeah. But anyway. Yeah.
We'll scores after the first round. Beth, 0 points. Ali, 2. Okay, next up, Beth. Par 3, par 4, or par 5?
I need to get my confidence up, so I'm going par 5, please.
Okay. Which amateur won the Mark H. McCormack medal for the third time this year? If you're confident in this question.
Not really. Okay. For the third time, Rose Zhang.
Yay! You got the, right. There we go. You get a point. Well done. Okay, Ali. Par 3, par 4, or par 5?
I'll go par 3. Ooh, I'm going to regret this instantly.
On day one of the US Women's Open, Ingrid Lindblad set the record for the lowest score by an amateur in a single round. What was the score?
I think it was 65, but I don't know why I think that. I think she shot 65.
Oh my God, you've got that right. Yes!
I knew that. That's
well done.
You knew that. Oh, but yeah, you would have got it too.
The hard question, you both got. You should have both done par threes for them all. Okay, yeah, 3 points there. So now,
I thought you were going to ask who was it before her.
That would have been brutal. Well, yeah.
Beth, 1 point. Ali, 5 points. Oh my goodness. Right, okay. Now, we're going to move on to part two now. This is the classic, your favourite bit, par 3, par 4, par 5. Okay, so Ali, since you're leading, you decide, do you want to go first or do you want to let Beth go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, par 3, par 4, par 5 then.
Can I pick another par 4?
Okay. From Aberdeen to Tulane.
Gemma Drybrough.
Born in Aberdeen. Went to college at Tulane University in New Orleans, where she lives today.
Beth would have got that too.
Gemma
I wish everyone at home could see the face that Beth is making right now, because she was charismatic and animated when she played golf as well. It was very funny to watch.
Lots of extreme close-ups, by the way, as
well. Yeah, there's a lot of hands. We're seeing a lot of hands right
now.
Okay,
let's just get the really hard ones up now. Right, par 3, par 4, or par 5, Beth?
3.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Total food lover.
Can't that be anybody? Okay.
Could be anyone.
Marina Alex.
Well, a big part of her appearance on the Women's Golf Show was spent talking about her and Ali's favourite places to eat on tour. You're right, Marina Alex.
Yeah, there you go.
You're right. That could have been anyone. So what a good guess there. Okay, you get 3 points on that one.
Very good.
Which means final scores. This is it. Beth, 4. Ali, 7. Well done, Ali.
Wow.
You have won the game.
Well done.
I think that was purely based on the order in which the questions were asked.
Doesn't matter. Take the win.
Doesn't matter. Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah,
you
should.
Thank you. I'd like to thank my family. I would like to thank the Women's Golf Show.
Okay, don't milk it here. That's it. Listen, thank you both. That is sadly all we have time for this week and for this year. We do hope that you've enjoyed the podcast. I certainly have loved being here. And if this is your first time listening, there is a whole year of episodes for you to listen back to, with honestly some incredible guests telling equally amazing stories. And you can also have a go at all the par threes, par fours, and par fives from throughout the year. So we do hope that you have been inspired with what you've heard and that you are inspired with what you do here. Before we go, some thank yous. Rachel Treasurer, Chris Lewis, Lauren Witherspoon, all at the RNA. A huge thank you as well to Iona Stephen, for travelling the world on our behalf. Difficult job. And also to her producers, Emily Ramage and Milo Wilkin. Most importantly, though, thank yous to you two, Beth Allen and Ali Whittaker. Obviously, without you guys, without all your golf knowledge and all your golf banter, this podcast would not be the same, and for making it happen from wherever you are in the world, whether it's 4 a.m, 5 a.m, midnight, whatever. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So it's been lovely. And I guess however you choose to celebrate over the Christmas holidays, I hope you have a wonderful time. And on behalf of us all, thank you so much. Oh,
thank you, Jenny. Yeah, privilege and an honor. So thank you so much.